just want to say thank you to all those who do continue to give to the church and to the television ministry. This year especially has been a little bit slower. 2020 was kind of one of those unusual years, and our church was actually blessed because we actually got more offering than usual. This year is a little bit different story, and so thank you for your continued support financially to this church and to the television ministry, which we bring to as many people as we can in order to hear the gospel message. I invite you to stand and turn your attention once again to our worship screen as we sing "For the Fruit of All Creation." Please be seated. Well, as you know, today is our Mission Harvest Sunday, and you can find the breakdown of the financial support we're giving to different missions in the front of your bulletin there. Today we have a special speaker from Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Higher Power Sports, Tim Weidenbach, and not only is he going to be talking about that, but he's going to be doing some one-handed push-ups, I understand. No. Oh, you didn't know about that part? Okay. So at this time, I invite Tim up and come share with us.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Awesome. Okay, so I have a better chance of doing a one-handed push-up than I do a seam like these two young men doing, so, but we'll do either. My name is Tim Weidenbach, and I'm the director of a nonprofit called Higher Power Sports. And within Higher Power Sports, I do several things. I should start out by saying I'm the director of Higher Power Sports, and I am really Higher Power Sports, okay? So my wife always says, you're the director of Higher Power Sports, and you're the only one involved in Higher Power Sports, so who are you telling what to do? And then she goes on and says, and I know how well you listen, so it's not going very well, probably. So I appreciate all her support, obviously. But I do several things with the Higher Power Sports. I do what's called character coaching. I work a lot with area high school and college athletes, where I talk a lot on teamwork and leadership, faith-based topics as well. And it's been a real, I started Higher Power Sports about 8 years ago, and it's been a real honor to stand in front of young men and women and share my faith share my struggles, share the hope through the good times and bad times of an athletic event, a season, or of life. And so very proud of that part of Higher Power Sports. I go into schools and I do a Be Kind and Inclusion message where we talk about, my friend Kansas is here and he'll be talking later, but we go into schools and we share the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Sounds real simple, right? But if you've been in a hallway of a high school or a middle school or an elementary school, that's not always the case. Or if you've heard a political ad, all right, it's right in our face that we don't always treat each other the way we would like to be treated. And it's a reminder how important that is, how simple that is, but how important that is. I get to go into schools, communities, driver's ed classes. I've been to Freeman 4 or 5 times to give my distracted driving talk. I had a cousin that was killed by a distracted driver about 8 years ago. And the talk, the presentation is to talk about the dangers of it. And I'm blessed. I've given that talk over the last 8 years over 500 times. So this is a talk that I give quite frequently. 60 times this year I'll give that talk. But it's emotional when you lose somebody like that. And it's another message that sounds simple, right? Put your phones down while you're driving the car. It's dangerous. But how hard it is to play out that. Just like being kind to one another. Sometimes it seems so simple, but it's difficult when we're going through our stuff. And we get focused on our stuff and not on others. And so very proud of that. I have a 2-year-old golden retriever that I'm training to be a therapy dog. And she's not with me today, but she'll come with me. And she's that buffer for those emotional talks or mentoring that I do where she can just lay there and be petted. She's doing very well and very proud of that part of Higher Power Sports as well. So all kinds of things that I do through Higher Power Sports. I started Higher Power Sports, like I said, about 8 years ago. I was a coach for a lot of years. I'm very competitive. Very competitive. Sometimes I say I'm cursed with being too competitive. But that competitiveness and that love of sports has brought me in front of people and given me an opportunity to share the good things and the bad things about being competitive. And that once we compete with one another, win or lose, it's time to move on. That next season in our life. As I was coaching the last few years, well, probably the last 10 years, 15 years, who knows, I'm really old, so I coached for almost 30 years. And I still do some coaching, but I was getting that tap on my shoulder, that there was something else out there. There was something I should be doing. And I was the assistant coach at Dakota Westland, and in a week we had a player who had a grandfather pass away. We had a player who, his father was in a car accident and had a traumatic brain injury. And we had another player that literally his house burnt down, all within about a week period. And as coaches, we do, you know, we do what we got to do. And, you know, we're trying to help these kids. But the reality is, as a coach, it's okay. It's going to be okay. But get on the line because we got a game on Saturday. So I was getting this tap on my shoulder. And finally that week, God smacked me upside the back of the head and said, get out there and do something. And that's how Higher Power Sports was born. And everything that I get to do, every person I get to influence, every young man or woman going through a tough time that I get to mentor, is because of that smack on the head. Because God has given me that opportunity to go out there and do that. I had the opportunity the last few years to go in the locker room at Dakota Wesleyan, pregame football. And I get to share a message right before they go out onto the field. I get to share a message with the football team. And then I get to pray in front of those young men. I don't know if we got any guys that played football. But if you've never been in a football locker room, it's very intense, okay, because you're about to go out there and try to run people over. So I have 100 guys in front of me, ready to go out there and knock somebody down. 100 guys in a room way smaller than this. It smells really bad, okay? It smells really bad, but I have their attention. And I get to share a message and then a prayer. And that's powerful. So about 5 years ago, I was thinking, you know, what am I going to say to these guys? And their message that week was, what's going to happen when adversity strikes in the game? Because the week before, they had lost a game 68-64. And it wasn't in overtime. If you know anything about college football, that's a lot of points, okay? And they were ahead by 30 points in the fourth quarter and lost 68-64. So the talk was, what was going to happen this week when adversity struck? And in football, adversity, the guy across from you lines up, smacks you in the nose. What are we going to do when adversity strikes? We get a penalty. The ref maybe makes a bad call. Maybe the guy across from us is better than us. What are you going to do when adversity strikes? So I'm sitting at my house, and at about 8 o'clock, I got a phone call. On Friday night, and it's from one of our offensive linemen. And Ben said, Coach, I just got a call from my mom. And my dad passed away. All of a sudden, all this adversity that we talked about, getting punched in the nose, a bad call, we got a different type of adversity. Ben's from California. We got to get a plane ticket for Ben to go home. Only child to be with his mom. About 9:30 that night, I got another call. And it was from the coach at Hills, Minnesota. And he said, Tim, we need some prayers. Our running back, linebacker, is being flown from Windham, Minnesota to Sioux Falls. He was making a tackle and he's paralyzed. And they're going to do surgery. All of a sudden, adversity that we talked about in a football game seems so minimal. So I thought, what am I going to tell these guys? Not only pregame about adversity, but then I had to go and speak to the Hills Beaver Creek football team on Sunday. Coach asked me to come. What am I going to tell these guys on Saturday before the game? On Sunday, where they're worried about their teammate who will probably never walk again. What am I going to tell these guys? And here's what I told them. Through adversity and struggle, you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I mean, I'm pretty close. But nobody's perfect. There was one guy that was perfect, right? You're not invincible. Sometimes we think we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. We're not. You're not without pain. Being an athlete, being a football player, it's hard. It hurts. You're not without heartache, wins and losses. You're not without question, am I good enough? Can we win this game? Does the coach know what they're talking about? But I also told them this, you're not alone. You're never alone. You have your teammates, you have your coaches, you have your fans, your family. You are a family. You are a family. You're more talented than you'll ever know. You're prepared. You've practiced. And you're loved. Now you might think, well, why is he talking about that in a church? Well, think about it. Through our lives, we go through adversity. We go through struggles. We just prayed for people that are going through struggles. Like Pastor said, we're all going through something. We're all going through something. And because of His grace, it's okay that we're not perfect. He died for us. So when we're not perfect, we can be forgiven of our sins. We're not invincible. Paul's brother wasn't invincible. But through that adversity of life, we can just imagine. Imagine where he's at today. We're not without pain. It's hard. Life's hard. Being a Christian is hard. We're not without heartache. We're not without question. I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of thinking and praying when I'm driving. And I'll admit it, I do a lot of questioning. God, why? I think we got that relationship okay, that I can ask him some questions. He doesn't always give me the answer I want, okay? But he gives me the answer I need. He gives me the answer. You're not alone. You have family. You have this church family. You have this community. You're never alone. There's always somebody there for you. You're prepared. You come to church. You sing the praises. You pray the prayers. You believe in your hearts. You're prepared. And most importantly, you're loved. You're loved by your families. You're loved by your community. You're loved by your church. But you're loved by your God. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son. To forgive us of our sins. We all know the story. We all know the sacrifice. We all know our past and how hard it's been. And we know in the future there's going to be hard times. But through those hard times, never lose sight that you are and always will be loved. Thank you.